The early vote numbers were at parity to begin with. That gave the Republicans hope. And then the Democratic early vote exploded, a massive gap between the Republicans and the Democrats in the early vote. Then the Republican voting came on strong. Now, you got to remember, this is an apples to oranges comparison to some degree. The general election early voting, you had more time and you had more locations to do early voting. In the runoff, there are fewer locations in Republican areas to do early voting. Democratic counties like Cobb and Gwinnett and DeKalb and Fulton pared back the number of early voting locations, coincidentally, in Republican areas. There are fewer days. You've got holidays, people traveling, families, the virus, all of that. And Republicans' early voting came on strong towards the end, and it gave Republicans hope. And then you had the Raffensperger-Trump tape. Raffensperger could have leaked it tonight after the president, but he chose to do it yesterday, and that's got Republicans all upset because Donald Trump is going to show up in Dalton tonight, and they need him to be on stage and tell Republican voters, get out and vote. They need Donald Trump on stage in Dalton tonight, focused on Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. And they are really worried now that he's going to spend 2 or 3 hours on stage tonight in grievance about Brad Raffensperger. They are convinced the president cannot stay on message tonight. It has Republican consultants across the nation apoplectic that God knows what he's going to say tonight on stage in Dalton, but it's probably not going to be good, nor is it going to be about the election. I mean, I've talked to the amount of F-bombs I have heard in the last 24 hours from Republican consultants, really the last 12 hours since that thing. Like, good gracious. One of them said of Raffensperger, couldn't he have just blankety-blank waited a day? It is Eric Erickson here across the state of Georgia. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425. Let's go to the phones. Kendall and Cumming, you're going to be next. Welcome.
Thanks, Eric. First of all, Happy New Year. I hope your wife and family are doing well.
Yes, indeed. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, buddy. I did want to talk a little bit about what's next. I keep hearing the term Trump voter, Trump Republican, and the truth of the matter is Trump brought a tremendous amount of voters into the party, and if you look at his vote totals, even though I hate to say it, I hate to say this out loud, but I think he did lose the election, but look at the amount of people that did vote.
Yeah.
And it's easier for our party to keep people that are voting for something than for them to keep people that are voting against something. And a lot of the Democrat turnout was against Trump. But I wonder, what are your thoughts on how are we going to keep these new voters when Trump isn't the focal point of the party anymore? How can get back to a values-based conversation?
You know,
keep these people voting with us.
I've been thinking a lot about this, and I actually think that one of the things we're seeing in the country right now is a political realignment happening in real time. And we've gone through these about every 60 years or so historically in the country. There are political realignments, and we're seeing it for the first time with social media and live 24-hour news. So people are having a hard time processing what's happening. But when you look at the underlying fundamentals of what's going on here, what you find is Black and Hispanic voters are moving out of the Democratic Party. Rich white people are moving into the Democratic Party. Black and Hispanic voters are looking where to go. Culturally conservative blue-collar voters who have been union voters in the past and aligned with the Democratic Party are looking for somewhere to go. They increasingly feel alienated from the Democrats. So that's what's going on here. People are there's a great sorting going on. I think for the viability of the Republican Party moving forward, while I consider myself a Christian evangelical small government guy, I think you're going to see a Republican Party that is increasingly comfortable with big government, but big government for the advantage of small businesses, blue-collar voters, and education. It'll be pro-life. It'll be more union-friendly. It'll be more for small business, less for corporate America. You know, socialism and corporatism actually work fairly well together. Look at Europe. It's the small
yes,
business that gets hurt. And when you see Hispanic and Black voters moving to the Republican Party, you see it's small business owners that are moving to the Republican Party. And so I think you're increasingly going to find the Republican Party that used to be the Chamber of Commerce, now finding the Chamber of Commerce looking at some Democrats. In fact, this is the first election cycle in the last 40 years where the Chamber of Commerce actually endorsed and supported Democrats. And we're going to see more of that, I think. So this great sorting out, I think a lot of people are trying to figure out, is this the Trump party or are these people coming to Donald Trump for something? There are certainly a lot of white voters around the country who went to Donald Trump in, I hate to say a cult of personality because it sounds insulting. I'm not sure of a better term, but they went for Donald Trump. But there are black and Hispanic voters who went for Donald Trump because they're blue collar or small business owners and they feel like the Democratic Party's out to get them. And there are a lot of white voters who went for Donald Trump, not because they liked him, but because they realize he's not hostile to their values. If the Republicans can find a way to thread that needle, and I think they can, it's going to be the Democratic Party on decline in the country, not the Republican Party. And the Democrats, because the Democrats and the media are so aligned, they're in this bubble and they think, oh, we're the ascendant party. When you actually look at the underlying data and you see the drift towards the GOP of Hispanic and black voters, you know there's something in the water. These people, this is important, they did not just vote Donald Trump. They voted Republican. And that matters tremendously for the future of both parties, that everybody realizes that's what happened. I'm going to make y'all mad. The reason the president got less votes than other Republicans in Georgia and elsewhere is not because the vote was stolen from him, but because a lot of Republicans didn't vote for him. And I know that you and your bubble and everyone you know and everyone in your church group and everyone in your circle of friends love the president. There were a lot of people, particularly independents, who tend to vote Republican who don't. And they didn't vote for him. They didn't necessarily vote for Joe Biden. They just simply didn't vote for him. And they went down ballot and they voted for all the other Republicans. That's why the president lost the election. It has nothing to do with him having the vote stolen from him. Now, I know that some of you, with lack of epistemic humility, you are absolutely convinced that the president had the race stolen from him. And I'm here to tell you he did not have the race stolen from him. He mishandled the race at the end of the race. He turned people off with his mean tweets. People were tired of having to think whether or not he was going to start World War III with Twitter. You can disagree with that all you want. You can love the man all you want. You can hump his leg all you want. The fact of the matter is Donald Trump lost the election because of Donald Trump. And it says something that people who carried his message, not named Donald Trump, won across the nation and the president himself lost. The president was a flawed messenger for his message, and other Republicans who carried his message did quite well across the nation. It's pretty telling that for all of you people who think there was vote fraud out there that stole the election from Donald Trump, the Republicans were able to make gains everywhere else. Now, you know, there's actually a sociological study from the 1970s of cult members. When you tell cult members things that are true, it actually causes them to double down their belief in the cult. So when I tell you that Republicans everywhere did better than Donald Trump, that's just proof to you that the election was stolen by Donald Trump because you and your cult can't perceive that there are Republicans who didn't like the president. And if you want to turn off the radio station because I'm giving you hard truths, you're just going to have to deal with it right now because that's the reality of it. The president of the United States did not have this race stolen from him. And you can't bring yourself to accept it, and you can't bring yourself to be happy by the fact that Republicans, after years of being told they were going to be swept out to sea because of Donald Trump, actually did really damn well in the election. At this moment, what I'm being asked to believe and what you're being asked to believe is that the Democrats were able to steal the presidency, but are going to allow the Republicans to keep the Senate, make gains in the House, and control a majority of state legislatures and governor's mansions around the country so that the Republicans can lock in another decade of Republican dominance through gerrymandering. But yet they stole the presidency. I don't think that's plausible, my son. Look, I'm sorry. I'm trying to be honest with you. I think you deserve my candor and honesty and my experience being an elections lawyer and seeing these things. I've seen vote fraud. I know vote fraud is real. Vote fraud at the scale that some of the president's supporters would have you believe can happen, I've never seen anything like that. It's not to say it can't happen, but it is also to say that, I mean, you're talking about Georgia, where you've got a Georgia Republican Secretary of State, you've got a Republican governor, you've got a Republican legislature. They can audit. You've got the Department of Justice controlled by the president. They can go in and intervene and find cases of it. You know, we get this all of the time. We get progressives who call the show and they're like, well, Wikipedia says and disagrees with you. Well, do you really want to trust Wikipedia? This story, this is the headline advice. Most of Scottish Wikipedia written by American in mangled English. For over 6 years, Amaryllis Gardner has written over 23,000 articles on the Scots Wikipedia and done well over 200,000 edits. There's just a problem. He's not Scottish, and he doesn't speak Scots. Since 2013, the self-professed Christian INTP furry living somewhere in North Carolina has written articles that are written in English, riddled with misspellings that mimic a spoken Scottish accent. Many of the articles were written while they don't know whether he's a he or a she, were a teenager. Amaryllis Gardner is an admin on the Scots page. They're thinking they're going to have to delete the entirety of the Scots Wikipedia page. It's actually really fun. Let me read you one of the examples here. This is on, you know, Million Dollar Baby, the Clint Eastwood movie. This is how he wrote it. Million Dollar Baby is a 2004 American sports drama film directed, co-produced, and scored by Clint Eastwood and starring, Eastwood, Hilary Swank, and Morgan Freeman. The film is about an underappreciated boxing trainer. This is all real. I wish I was making it up. Remember that the next time a progressive says, but Wikipedia says...